Nehemiah chapter number 6. Nehemiah chapter number 6, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. What's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, just kind of get your battery charged sometimes, you know? Sitting back here listening to this and start thinking about there is a fountain filled with blood. And I began to think about He'll rise again, and He did rise again. And then I think about He'll come again. And He hasn't yet, but He's going to. Amen. You start thinking, whoo, I'm glad, you know? Get a little bit excited about it. And I'm telling you, it just lights your fire. And I'm excited about what God's done and what God's going to do. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 6, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin. And that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 3. "I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" I want to preach this evening on this thought. I cannot come down. I cannot come down. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. Lord, we love you. Lord, we realize that because of Calvary, we're in this place tonight. Lord, we want to do our best for Thee. Lord, we want to serve Thee and live for Thee and in the midst of this world. The temptations, Lord, to quit are real. Lord, there's so many things that try to take away our attention from the things you'd have us to be doing. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to say with Nehemiah, the work is too great, cannot come down. Lord, may we be encouraged through the Word of God tonight. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, verse number 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The Bible teaches us that Satan is subtle. The Bible also says that he is a lion. He's as a roaring lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to understand tonight as we think about this that the lion is quiet in his approach. There's many times he sneaks upon you, and if you've ever seen a lion in the wild, you'll realize that they sneak up and they'll lie on their bellies and they'll sneak up and get as close to you as they possibly can. And just when you let your guard down, they'll jump you and they'll be on top of you and they'll attack you. And the Bible teaches us that Satan is like a lion and he's looking for whom he may devour. He's transformed into an angel of light. And he realizes that God has placed us here on purpose. Each one of us has a building project, if you will. We all have a part of building the wall that God has for us. As we've journeyed through the book of Nehemiah, we've seen that there were many kinds of people from all walks of life that were working on the wall. There were the priests, there were the high priests and the priests, there were merchant men, there were druggists, if you will, there were men, there were ladies, there were families, but there were those nobles that wouldn't put their hands to the work, but there were nobles that would put their hands to the work. And so we see all throughout the book of Nehemiah, there was a job that God had put in the heart of Nehemiah to get done, and I can assure you that Satan was against it all along. He was looking for a time to attack. He was looking for a way to attack. And he comes to Nehemiah time and time and time again, and he says, I want you to come down off the wall. I want you to quit the work. But I love the response of Nehemiah. He says, the work is too great. God has given me something to do, and I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? And tonight I say in Tampa, Florida, and in the East Side Avenue Baptist Church, the work is great. Why should we stop the work? Why should we come down? Why should we take a rest for a little while when God is going to return? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return soon. We need to be busy building the wall and finishing the job that God has given us to do. We all have our part. You know, the temple took several years to rebuild. But when these people determined in their heart to do what needed to be done, the wall took 52 days to rebuild. It was utterly destroyed. Now what an amazing thing. The devil does not want you to finish your project. He's got a plan to get you off the wall. I have a question. I heard this. I wrote it down. If my church had to depend on me to complete my portion of the wall, would it get done? Or would there be a break in the wall? If this church was depending on you to get what God has placed you here to do to get done, let me ask you, would things all around us be complete and then your part be undone? I'm telling you tonight, don't come down. Don't listen to the devil and don't give in to the devil. He is transformed into an angel of light. By the way, your enemy knows when you're on the wall. The Bible says it, in verse number 1, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. He knows when you're working. The devil sees when you're putting forth the effort. And by the way, he does not like it. Well, you know when you hand out a gospel tract, the devil's against that. The devil doesn't like that. He doesn't like it, and he tries to get you down off the wall. He tries to make you stop doing the work that he's placed you here to do. And well, I want to look at four things that the devil tries to do that our answer must be, I cannot come down. The work is too great. The work is too great. I want you to see, first of all, the devil will manipulate your mind. The devil will manipulate your mind. Notice what the Bible says in chapter number 6, in verse number 2. The Bible says that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. So you know that what the devil does sometimes is it sounds just real pleasing, doesn't it? Or it sounds real simple. He says, "Come, we just want to meet together." But this was a ploy of the devil. You know, he knows when he takes the hammer and nails out of your hand that the work is not being done. And every time you stop the work when it's not time to stop the work, then the project is delayed and things don't happen. And so the devil, or the Bible teaches us that Sanballat and Geshem, Tobiah, they wanted Nehemiah to come down. But thank God, Nehemiah was spiritually discerned, wasn't he? He recognized these as the enemy of God. I'm convinced tonight in America and in most Christian lives, we've lost our discernment. You know, we don't know when it's the devil or the Lord speaking to us, and that's a sad place to be. We even ask ourselves sometimes, you know, well, is this of the Lord or is this of the devil? Find out what the Bible has to say about it. Let me tell you something. If the Bible says it's right, it's of God. And if the Bible says it's not right, it's of the devil. It's pretty simple. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know if the Lord really wants me to witness to that person or not. Pardon me, but duh. It's not the Lord that doesn't want you to witness. It's the devil that doesn't want you to witness. And so the devil will say, well, you know, they just won't listen to you. They won't put up with it. And, you know, you might make them a little bit mad. You might send them away. You know, you may send them off and they may not listen. You know, if you learn to witness to the people the right way, you won't offend people. Right? You know, like, say if Joe was somebody and he was walking down the street. Stand up, son. And he was walking down the street. I'm not going to go up to him and I'm not going to say, hey, look here, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get right with God. I've seen your wickedness and your ungodliness. I've seen how you live. I've seen all those bad things you do. And boy, you're going to split it wide open. Amen. Boy, he's going to sit there and he's going to say, wow, I need to be. You know, he's going to say, this guy is a nut. Now, that's not God's plan, is it? Thank you. Sometimes you have to be that brazen. I heard of a pastor going with a deacon one time to a house, and a man that just really was against God, and he didn't like anything about God. And I mean, I'm telling you, he was always fighting the church and fighting in the community and causing a ruckus. And this preacher went, and I mean, he'd done everything. He'd been sweet, he'd been kind, he'd been over backwards trying to reach this man with the gospel. And finally, it was almost like one night he said, "I've had enough. I've got to go to the extremes." And he went into this. Went into this place, and the man was in a barn, and him and the deacon went in there, and they began to witness to him, and that man said, "I don't want anything to do with it." And that preacher just said, in despair, he said, "You ever heard a piece of bacon sizzling on the stove?" He said, "Sure have." He said, "You're going to be sizzling in hell just like that piece of bacon one day." And he said, "I'm done with you. I can't do anything else." And the man fell on his knees. Now, I believe God was helping him right there. He wasn't hateful or mean. So we understand that. So the devil wants to get us off the wall. He'll manipulate your mind. He says, "Come, let us reason together. Just quit the work. Just come down for a little while." And Nehemiah's up there. He's hammering away. He's got his trowel, and he's troweling away, and he's getting the work done. And here's Sanballat and Geshem. They're down there, and they've got messengers, and they're saying, hey, Sanballat, he wants you to come, and let's just meet together. I heard somebody preach on this topic, and they said, "Oh no, don't go to Oh no. Oh no, don't go to Oh no." And I thought, that's pretty good too, isn't it? So, you know what Nehemiah said? He said, "The work I'm doing is greater than anything Sanballat wants to talk about. The work I'm doing is greater than anything." And sometimes we have these civic organizations that want to come in and try to tear up and take up our time and do all these different things. And they'll say, "Why don't you just water down the gospel a little bit, and maybe we can support you just a little bit more." You know what they want us to do? Come down off the wall. The devil will manipulate your mind. You know, sometimes you think about it, don't you? You look at the church and think, boy, we sure would like to grow. Sure would be nice to see 150 here every Sunday, wouldn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If we'll do things God's way, 150 won't touch what's going to happen here if he doesn't return. Won't touch it. There's going to be people that's going to be looking for something that's real and for something that's right. We're not going to come down off the wall. We're not going to throw the trowel down. We're going to keep working at it and working at it and working at it. He said, I'm doing a great work. Why should the work stop? Why should I come down? The enemy will do anything he can to take you away from the work, building the wall. Verse number 3, he says, I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? But I want you to notice the persistence of the enemy. He don't just come at you once and say, well, I guess that's it. I'm not going to get them off the wall. You know, Brother Chris, he's not going to come and say, well, I can't. Yeah, I went at Brother Chris once, and I went at Chris once. Can't get him to stop, so I guess I won't bother him anymore. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to bother you and bother you and bother you. He's going to bother us and bother us. Notice what he says, verse number 4. Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort. Guess what? 4 times they got the same answer. We've got to have some conviction, just like we said this morning. First generation has convictions. The second generation has beliefs. The third generation has opinions. We need to be back to the first century Christians and have some convictions. And we need to have some convictions about staying on the wall and staying in the work. And every time the enemy comes at us and says, why don't you come down off the wall? We've got to look back and we've got to say, I cannot come down. I am doing a great work and the work cannot stop. Jesus is on his way and I've got to get the work done before he returns. Oh, may the Lord help us to see tonight. The enemy may come at us and come at us and come at us, but if you'll keep working on the wall, God will give you the strength that you need. Not only does the devil, he tonight manipulate your mind, I want you to see, secondly, that the devil misrepresents your motive. He misrepresents your motive. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 5. The Bible says, then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the 5th time. I'm telling you, he's persistent, isn't he? With an open letter in his hand. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen in Gashmu, which is Geshem, saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou also hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, Nehemiah says, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it may not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I want you to see here one of those ploys of the devil that's used so many times. You see here in verse number 6 says, wherein it was written, it is reported. This is what the devil does. You'll be busy doing the work, and the devil gets some rumor started on you, some lie started on you. It's equivalent today of what people say is, when they say something like this, well, they say this about you. Well, I have heard this. And you think, boy, I've got to come down now and I've got to go defend myself. I've got to quit and go handle this problem, this mess, them bunch of liars. You know what? Sometimes I think we just need to keep on working and let God take care of that. By the way, the Lord will fight our fights for us if we'll just faithfully follow Him. The Lord will take care of everything if we'll faithfully follow Him. I mean, the false accusations are out there to try to get us off the wall. Notice what he said. The Bible teaches us here that Sanballat sent unto him the fifth time. A letter was in his hand. And in this letter, this is what Sanballat wrote in this letter. He said, I've heard. It's reported among the heathen and Geshem. Oh, if Geshem says it, it's got to be true. Geshem's been one of the enemies all along. You know? Sometimes I think about that and
I think, you know what, people believe everything a newspaper has to say and everything a news reporter has to say. And they say, boy, well, I guess if they said it, it has to be true. Hogwash. There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney, right? Oh, you don't believe all that stuff. And sometimes these things happen. But it says, this is what we've heard. That the reason you're building a wall is so that you can be the king. And everybody's going to answer to you. And you know, there's no doubt Nehemiah was thinking, well, how in the world would they say something like that? How in the world would this happen? You know, I'm just doing the work that God wants me to do. And He's the king. I'm not the king. I'm just trying to do what God's placed me here to do. And I'm trying to help build this city back up and put this wall around this city and get the job done that God's placed me here to do. Then Nehemiah says, I sent him saying, no such thing done as thou sayest. Thou fannest them out of thine own heart. You know what he's saying? You're a liar. What you're saying is not true. Didn't happen. You just made it up. And here's why you made it up. Trying to get me off the wall. Trying to help me, trying to make me quit the work. Look, I heard somebody say one time, the devil go by your door 1,000 times a day looking for it to be cracked open. Just slightly. One time. Boy, they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming at Nehemiah, and the devil's going to keep coming at you. The enemy's going to keep coming at us, and they're going to try to say, come down. Quit preaching the truth. Give in. Compromise. Let down your convictions. Throw them out the door. Boy, it's reported that over there you do this, and over there you do that. You know what we need to keep on doing? We need to keep standing and preaching the truth of what thus saith the Lord. We need to keep on the firing line, and need to keep on the wall. We need to keep at the work that God has placed us here to do, and until the day that Jesus Christ calls you home and calls me home, may we go out of here faithfully serving God, not worried about what the enemy has to say. Nehemiah said, you're a liar. You just made it all up. You're trying to make us afraid. Trying to weaken us. God strengthened my hands. In other words, there's a fear that's come over me thinking about this. But Lord, I'm not going to fight this fight. I'm going to let you fight it for me. That's what's happening here. You see what he said in verse number 9? For they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. You know why? Because you want to talk about something that will make you want to come down off the wall when you have to defend yourself. Honestly, somebody tells a lie about you, you want to come down, don't you? You want to say, I've got to go straighten this out. But Nehemiah said, the work's too great. I cannot come down. We need some Nehemiahs today, don't we? We need some men and some women that'll be out there working on the wall. And this old church that stood here for these 56 years, same piece of property, same ground, souls have been saved, many souls have been saved, preachers have been called out of this place, missionaries are on the field from this place, other churches have been started because of this place. I'm telling you, the devil would like nothing more than to see us throw in the towel. But the work's too great. We can't come down. We're going to keep on working. You know what they're going to say about us? They're just a bunch of fundamentalists over there. You know? They're crazy. Man, they still sing them old songs. They still preach out of the King James Bible. They don't
use all this newfangled stuff, and you know, they don't have their praise and worship teams over there. Why would you go over there when you can go across town and you can get all the newfangled stuff? You can get the high-tech gizmos over there. You can go to a great game room for your kids. And I want to tell you something. In that game room, they don't have air hockey. They've got a hockey rink. You can go in there and play hockey. Honestly. You hear all this stuff. And they start saying, they're behind the times. No. We're with the Bible. They're too old-fashioned. We're just biblicist. They're fanatical about their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We are. And I'm not ashamed of that. Well, you know, they're trying. It's like a cult over there. And you know what? That's what happens sometimes. Now, here's what I believe.
I believe that God gives us New Testament churches, and I believe the church is to be pastor-led. Now, that's biblical, right? Not pastor-dictated, pastor-led. And sometimes, because the pastor just has confidence in this is the way that God wants us to go, people says, well, he's cocky, he's arrogant, you know? Well, it's not that. But somebody's got to be in the lead. And somebody has to lead the place. And that one is the one that God calls us. You know what? If you're on a business, you understand what I'm saying. Somebody's got to be in the lead, right? That doesn't mean you don't listen to others and you don't take advice from others. And it's not a my way or the highway kind of thing. But I'll tell you one thing. When I'm confident in what God wants us to do, then I'm not going to worry about defending myself. I just let God take care of that. We got a work to be that needs to be done here. We can't come down. We can't come down. The devil misrepresents your motive. Now, I've had things said about me, and you know what? That's fine. I try not to worry about that stuff. But if you ever want to talk about a time where I'm tempted to say, let me fight for myself here. And sometimes I lower myself and I give all these reasons and all this stuff. And sometimes I just need to say, well, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I think that'd be the right answer, don't you? If I'm doing what God wants me to do, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what you or even I think about it. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I've got to do it. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, you've got to do it. But the devil will misrepresent our motive. Then I want to show you thirdly, the devil tries to modify your mission. Notice what the Bible says, verse number 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shimei, the son of Deleah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. See what's happening here? He's tried all these avenues. He's tried to manipulate his mind, saying, let's just come down and talk about it. Nehemiah said, no, I can't. I cannot come down. The work is great. He's tried to misrepresent the motive. In other words, to spread rumors about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah says, no, I cannot come down. The work is too great. God, strengthen my hands. Don't let me give in to fear. Strengthen my hands for the work. Then says he came to the house of Shimei, the son of Deleah, the son of Mehetabel, was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. This is the way the devil works. He tries to get you, and he tries to get you, and he tries to get you. And if he can't get to you through these other ways, he'll get real religious on you. He'll get real religious on you. He says, let's meet at the house of God. It's a refuge. It's a place of safety. I love, Jews would not go into a place like this. Gentiles, the heathen, in the Old Testament we see them called heathen. Gentiles would go to a place of refuge. And when they would go into a temple, it was a place of refuge. But Sanballat had sent these letters and said, look, let's meet at the house of God. And let's go here and we'll shut it up because they'll come and slay you. We'll shed it. And I love what Nehemiah said. He said, should such a man as I go in a place like this and flee, leave my family behind, leave all these workers behind, and go in here in fear? I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not going to do something like that. I'm going to keep on the wall. I can't come down. The work is too great. The work has to be done. The work has to be accomplished. Cannot come down. Should such a man as I do this, I will not go in. The devil does this. He comes at us, and then he says, well, I'll just modify their mission. And he gets us real busy in church work. You know? We get so busy in the organizational structure of the church that we forget that the main thing is winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I know churches that are like machinery. Man, they just operate and they go at it and they go at it and they go at it. And they have all these things that in the church and they have all this and all that that's luring to the world. But they forget that the Bible teaches us that we're to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's God's plan. That's God's way. I'm not concerned with luring people in with the ways of the world. I'm concerned with lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and letting Him draw men unto Himself. We need to see that this is what happens. And He'll attempt to get us busy. He attempts us to get us busy and to quit working on the wall. There are people that used to knock on doors and then they decided, well, my work's done doing that. I'm just going to busy myself doing this. I'll teach a class here. By the way, Sunday school teachers ought to be the main ones that's out knocking on doors. Leaders, anybody that leads anything ought to be the ones that are out witnessing and knocking on doors, because a leader means that you're supposed to be somebody that people follow. The devil has us thinking sometimes, well, I'm busy enough. If you're not doing your part in reaching souls with the gospel of Christ, you're not busy enough. It's the most important thing you can do with your life, is giving your life for souls. It's important. But we get busy, don't we? We think, well, you know, I do enough work in the church. Do you, really? Do you really? You see, I'm guilty of this too. Because I find myself saying, well, I do enough. I'm not pointing a finger at you and not realizing that I need to do more. But I'm going to admit I need to do more. But I do my best to talk to people about the Lord and witness to people, faithfully witness. But see, the devil's trying to modify our mission. He's trying to make us think we're doing enough. I believe being a Sunday school teacher, being a leader in a church, is really the byproduct of being faithful in this area. Because you're not going to be an effective whatever it is if you're not busy serving the Lord in this part of your life. I'm sorry. You say, well, are you talking about me? Well, you probably know. It's the Lord doing the talking. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just a messenger. But the truth of the matter is, I said this the other night. I read, and I don't know, it's just convicted me and convicted me and convicted me. Churches are either going to evangelize or fossilize. And there's a lot of churches fossilizing today. We've got to get back to being an evangelistic church. We've got to get back to being a soul-winning church. You remember the heyday of this church? How many remembers running hundreds and hundreds of people? How many remember that? How did it happen? You just sit here and people started coming in, didn't they? You just sit here, you know, Sunday after Sunday and, you know, get up and sing in the choir and boy, people just start flocking in, you know? I mean, they just couldn't help themselves. They thought, boy, I got to go. You want to know why it happened? Because you were going out. You were going out knocking on doors. You were going out telling people about the Lord. But the devil has modified our mission, not only in this church, but in churches all around our city. You want to know why Tampa is the adult joint capital of the states, basically? It's because churches haven't been doing their job. It's because Christians haven't been taking their stand. I heard somebody say the other day, Christians ought not get involved in politics. Well, that's the problem. We need some people in office that believe what the Bible has to say. I'm not talking about getting up and telling people who to vote for. But dear friends, in early America, you want to know who the strongest voice in politics was? It was Bible-thumping preachers. You want to know who led troops into the wars? It was preachers that would say, give me liberty or give me death. It was preachers that would say, for the cause of God, I must lead my troops. Preachers. And we get a little bit mad because the preacher gets up and gets a little bit political in the pulpit. Well, now, I think that there's a certain extent, but here's the truth of the matter. We cannot come down. And the problem is, for a lot of years, people have said, well, politics and religion do not mix. Well, that is the problem, because religion or Christianity has pulled away from enforcing politics. And we ought to be standing behind the ones that we elect, and we ought to be saying, you better follow God or we're not going to vote for you. You ought to put your stamp on what's right with the Bible, or we're going to vote against you. I'm telling you. We need to be involved. But we've got to do our job. It starts not with the politics. It starts with winning souls. It starts not with the organizational structure. It starts in our hearts of reaching out to people. You want to know why we had 154 people this week? Because you worked at it. Could it happen next week? If you work at it. You see, that's it. It's work, isn't it? And we just don't have time. Well, I better move on. It's getting very quiet. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. And dear friends, we need to stand for the truth now. And to be faithful. Because the devil wants to modify our missions. But then I'll see, finally tonight, the devil wants to misguide our members. Notice what the Bible says. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. It came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara. His son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. The devil wants to misguide our members. In this city, these people that are alongside Nehemiah, people that are of the same family, if you will, of the same tribes, if you will, the people for whom Nehemiah is building this wall for, has sworn their allegiance. Nobles of Judah has sworn their allegiance to Tobiah. Well, you know, we understand why. Because Tobiah was the son-in-law of one of the nobles of Judah. And so they had sworn their allegiance to him. And sometimes that's what we do. You know, we swear our allegiance to people because of who they are, because of their place in society. But here's the truth of the matter tonight. It's best to go with God. Amen. Our allegiance is to the Lord. Amen. What's going on here? I was reading this and I thought, you know, what's this talking about? In 52 days, this work was done. So, you know, God was in this. It says it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were cast down in their own eyes. When you do the work God wants you to do, the enemy starts getting defeated and discouraged. They perceive that this work was wrought of our God. We can prove to the world that this place is of God. That's exciting. I mean, honestly, I want people that go up and down the street and say, there's something different about that church. Amen. I want people that walk through the doors to say, man, it's different. There's something different there. There's a different kind of a spirit. They just take the Bible at face value. They preach the Bible. They stand on the Word of God. They don't back down. Amen. That's exciting to me. Amen. I want to say, whoo, you're right. I want to say, yeah, that's it. Man, we're in it for the long haul. Because this work's a great work. We can't come down. We've got a job to do. We've got a work to finish. So when's it going to be finished? When Jesus calls us home. But until then, we need to be working and doing this. And as we do it, there's going to be people going by. Lost people are going to say, there's something different about that church. I'm going to tell you something. There are churches. There are some great churches in Tampa. Great churches. We're not the only one. We're not the only one trying to do this job. And we're not the only one that's still standing on the truth. We're not the only one. But there are a lot of churches in Tampa that people will go in, and it's no different than going to some kind of a civic club or some kind of a social gathering. No different. And I want to tell you something. You go to a church like that, and you can remain the same. And you can just live your life out. And as I heard one preacher say, you can go to hell off of a church pew. But then there are those churches in Tampa that are standing against sin and standing for what the Bible says, standing for biblical salvation. And that's the kind of church we are. But because some of these churches have power and influence, there are going to be people that's going to say, you don't want to go over to East La Avenue. You want to go to such and such or to so and so. Because they're sworn unto them. A lot of times it's because of the social influence. Why is it you don't see civic leaders coming to small churches like ours? Why? You ever see a civic leader or a mayor or governor go to a smaller church? Anybody ever heard of that? I know very few that are independent Baptists. Very few. Why is that? Because we're too close to the Bible and convictions. And they get sworn to the things of this world. And they think, well, I'll lose votes or I'll lose this. It's better to go with God. Better to go with God. The Bible says it came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, they sought and they knew that this work was wrought of God. It says also in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah. You know what was going on? They were spying for Tobiah. And they were telling Tobiah everything that Nehemiah was doing on the inside. And then goes on, says, there were many that were sworn to him because of he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah. But going down there in verse number 19, says, they also reported his good deeds. You know what they were coming? They were coming and they were saying to Nehemiah, Tobiah's a good old fella. You know, he's basically one of us. He's married to one of us. But I want to tell you something. Tobiah was fighting Nehemiah all along on getting the work done. And there's a lot of people that churches are saying our friends, and people are saying this will be a friend of your church that's an enemy of the church. We cannot let down, and we cannot come down, because the work is too great. I don't know how long the Lord's going to allow us to be in this world. I don't know how many more days I have left in this world, and I don't know how many more days you have left in this world, some more than others, no doubt about it, unless the Lord Jesus returns right now. But I can tell you this, the greatest thing you can do with your life is live it for Him. Don't come down. Realize how great the work is. And let's just determine we're going to get the work done. The devil would like nothing else than for us to close up shop or to change what we believe about the Bible and what we believe about the Lord and what we believe about the old-fashioned way. The devil would like nothing more than to see us get busy just being an organizational structure and not be a soul-winning place. The devil would like nothing more. I'm telling you tonight, we're in a great work. I don't know of a greater place to be in Tampa, Florida than in East La Avenue Baptist Church. And for those that are coming, that are here tonight from other churches, for your church. Amen. I love Smyrna Baptist Church, and I love their pastor. But here's what I want to tell you. We have a great work. The temptation is to come down. The temptation is to compromise with the world. The temptation is to throw in the towel. The temptation is to say, let's just quit fighting all this stuff. There's fights worth fighting. And you have to pick and choose your fights. But every fight we fight, we need to be sure that it lines up with the Bible. And we need to be sure it's a fight that's worth fighting. In other words, fighting for souls is worth fighting. Fighting for convictions, for the convictions of this Word is worth fighting. Fighting for this Word. Fighting to teach our children the truth about where they came from. By the way, you kids that are in here, you go to public school, I want to tell you something. You didn't come from a monkey. You're a special creation by God. God made you and He formed you. God created you. I'm going to fight that fight. I'm going to fight for these babies that are in these mothers' wombs. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand because it's murder. And the Bible teaches us that we're not to kill. I'm going to stand against sodomy. Because the Bible teaches us that it's vile and it's wicked and it's wretched. Certainly there are fights worth fighting. You understand that. And people will say, well, that's the political realm. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Tonight there are fights worth fighting. But the most important fight is winning souls to Christ and telling people about Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us, and I thank you for this time you've given to us. I pray that you've helped us tonight. And I pray tonight that we'd find a group of people that say, I cannot come down. The work is too great.